All right, now we want to look at Habakkuk. The name means embrace. And Habakkuk's contemporaries are unknown because of the time period. But here again, some believe that Habakkuk prophesied in the same time period of Jeremiah, Zephaniah, and Nahum. We're not given any identifying remarks concerning Habakkuk's location nor his lineage. So we know that he's had a vision from the Lord. And through visions, he sees the coming destruction to the land of Judah and also to the Chaldeans. Now this is interesting because the Chaldeans are the one that destroyed Judah. And he sees that destruction of Judah, but then he sees beyond that through the destruction of the Chaldeans. Now chapter 1 records Habakkuk's petition concerning the wickedness of Judah and then God's reply. God names the Chaldeans as the nation who will destroy Judah. Habakkuk cannot understand how a nation more wicked than Judah could be allowed to destroy Judah, because truly Babylon was an adulterous nation. Babylon was a wicked nation, committed atrocities. And when God tells him about tells Habakkuk about Babylon being the one that's going to destroy Judah, Habakkuk just can't comprehend this. And I think today we have these struggles. We say, well, I don't understand that. They were better than them. It's just God's tool that he uses to execute with, all right? Chapter 1 of Habakkuk, verse 1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. And evidently, he's talking about his own land here. He doesn't like what's going on in his own country, okay? Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Now this is God's reply to him. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. The horses also are swifter than leopards, and more fierce than the evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from afar. They fly as the eagle that hastens to eat. They all come for violence. So evidently, I mean, this is one more mean army, okay? Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like sand. They scoff at kings and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold. For they heap up earthen mounds and seize it. Then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God. Now see, God recognizes all that, but he says that's who he's raising up to execute his judgment. Now, look at what Habakkuk has to say. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours? A person more righteous than he. In other words, we're more righteous than the Chaldeans. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net, gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet. because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? Now you see what Habakkuk's dilemma is? God, I do not understand this. Yes, Judah is sinning. Yes, Judah is not following after God. But in comparison to Babylon, they're a whole lot better off than Babylon, but that's not what God's hearing. God's saying, no, that's who I'm going to use to execute my judgment on Judah. I've warned Judah. I've warned Judah. I've warned you. Remember, what was the whole book of Jeremiah? What was he doing? He was warning Judah. They wouldn't listen. These other prophets warned. They wouldn't listen. Ezekiel warned. Nobody wants to listen. Of course, by Ezekiel's time, they're already going into captivity, aren't they? And now here, Habakkuk said, I don't understand why, but God said, this is the way it is. The Babylonians are the ones going to do it. Now, look at what Habakkuk says in chapter 2. He said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. You like that? In other words, God's right. You know, he has the understanding that whatever God is doing, he's doing because he's righteous, not because he's wrong. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak and it will not lie, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now listen to this, it's spoken against the Chaldeans. Indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desires, hell. And he is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you, and you will become their booty? Because you have plundered many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. This is against Babylon now, not Judah. The first part was Judah. Now we're talking about Babylon. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land, the city, and of all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high. Now, boy, there's a principle there we need to look at. That he may be delivered from the power of disaster. See, a lot of people are dependent in their wealth and the material things to as their protection and their guardian, and it's going to deceive you. Anyone that's depending upon their wealth to save them is in for a rude awakening. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. So Babylon's in trouble, aren't they? Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water covers the sea. Isn't that interesting? In the midst of all this iniquity and all this wickedness, God says, he's not rattled at all. You understand? He said that the earth's going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's just not happening right then. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink. Be exposed as uncircumcised, the cup or out of covenant. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city of all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make new idols. That's always been a mystery to me, how the man can make it and then bow down and worship it. The one who made his God, worship that as his God, when in reality he's superior to it, isn't he? Something, if you think about it. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Amen. Let all the earth keep silence before him. There's breath in him. He can speak. And then we get into the third chapter. The second chapter to me is interesting. Habakkuk, you know, he's made his statement, he's made his plea to the Lord, and then he says, you know, I'm going up here on this fortified barrier, and I'm just going to wait on the Lord, and I'm going to see what the Lord has to say to me. And then when the Lord speaks, now you understand, Habakkuk has seen this vision. The Lord said, I want you to write the vision that you've seen down. You saw Judah destroyed by Babylon, by the Chaldeans, but you also saw the Chaldeans. Write the vision that you saw down. Make it plain. In other words, you make sure that the people of Judah know they're going down, but also make sure the people of Babylon know they're going down as well. You write the vision. You put it on tablets. And then it says, so that the one who reads it may run. I mean, if you read what Habakkuk has written, and you trust in God, then you make provision. Run out of that mess, right? Get deliverance while you can before all these things come about. And then he tells him, he says, the vision is for yet an appointed time. In other words, it's not going to happen tomorrow. I have a set time that this will occur. And he said, you just wait for it. And though you're waiting, you don't have to wait for it, because at that set time, it's coming. It's not going to be late. You just wait for the set time, and at the set time, the vision will occur. Judah will be destroyed by the Chaldeans, and then the Chaldeans will be destroyed. Then we get into the third chapter. Now see, Habakkuk, God has spoken these things to him, and he has the revelation of what's going to take place. He has the revelation that his nation is going to go down. But the nation that takes them down is also going down. Now that's something to think about. Because if the nation goes down, what are your chances? Is it possible that you're going to suffer some consequences in the process? So when you get into the third chapter, think about this. It's actually a prayer of Habakkuk. Excuse me. And it says, actually it opens up in this third chapter, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth, which, and I'd probably butcher the pronunciation of that, but it probably, the meaning's unknown. They just tell you that right out. But it appears that it refers to some style of song or some tempo of song. So he's saying that it's to be set to that. It's this style of song, probably to be sung. It could be a lamentation or something of that nature. But in this, we see the pronouncement of God's judgment upon Nineveh. And now, look at this. He said, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. What if the Lord would speak and say the United States is going to be destroyed? But yet I'm going to destroy the people that destroy them. Well, you're not out here doing cartwheels because the people that destroyed the nation is going to be destroyed. What's got your attention is your nation's going down. Okay? He says, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, boy, that's a good prayer request.
Yeah.
God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midia trembled. O Lord, Were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrows. Selah. You know, when I think about this, and when he says, was your anger against the rivers, I think of it in relation to the Red Sea. You know, what caused it to part? What caused the Jordan to part? What caused this to be turned to blood? And you know, you think, I don't know if that's what he has reference to or what. He said, you divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. Now, this seems to be referring to the dividing of the earth, doesn't it? The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled. My lips quivered at his voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble when he comes up to the people. He will invade them with his troops. In other words, here's what Habakkuk said. Man, when I hear what you've done in the past, and the awesomeness of God, the fierce judgment and wrath of God poured out on the enemy and on all those, he says, it makes me weak, it makes me tremble, and the only thing I know to do is just rest in you in that day of trouble. Now we get to verse 17, and it'll take on a little more meaning. Habakkuk says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Now see, this sounds like this is a song, this third chapter we have here. Habakkuk says, I see what you're going to do, and I see how the land's going to be devastated. But I'm going to trust you. If the whole thing's wiped out, I'm still going to trust in you because I know I'm going to be delivered in it all. Now that's faith, right? I mean, that's putting your confidence in the Lord, isn't it? Well, let's stop there before we go into the book of Zephaniah.